TJ Gaffney on the phone with us this morning. Good morning, TJ.
Morning, Caleb. How are you?
Great. I'm glad we could make this happen. You're kind of a regular, at least when I fill in here. You're no stranger to WPHM, of course, but I always enjoy chatting with you when I'm when the roles are reversed here and Paul's on vacation. So, TJ, what's going on with you? How you been, man?
I've been doing well, my friend. How have you been?
We're hanging in there. Let's just put it that way. As most of us are in present, you have man. I don't know where to start. I don't even know what to call you, TJ, at this point. Local historical enthusiast.
Don't call me Ishmael, as they used to say. Yeah.
historian, historical enthusiast. He's restoring a gas station. He's restoring a locomotive. He's restoring a caboose. Did I leave anything out there?
No, you're hitting most of the big ones right now.
Railroad employee and historic home enthusiast and all sorts of stuff. Where do you want to start here, TJ?
Probably for folks that are interested in what's going on locally, several folks probably are aware that I've been working since about May of 2018 on a project that's near and dear to my heart. Many folks may know that I, at one point in time, worked at the Port Huron Museum for about 6 years in the early 2000s. And prior to that, my parents were board. Well, my father was a board member for a number of years, and we were longtime volunteers when past director Steve Williams was there. And so I kind of, in many ways, grew up there. And one of the earliest projects I ever got involved in was involving a little steam locomotive that's named for the man who named Port Huron, Port Huron, Daniel B. Harrington. And it was built in 1878. Had a kind of a short life here, but it bounced all around Michigan, as you're aware, Caleb, and eventually ended up in the Traverse City area, where it was on display for a number of years. And in the 1960s, it went down to Cedar Point. For those who have been to the amusement park there, they know a train runs around it. And they tried to use it there, but the condition of it was such that they couldn't really use it as an operating locomotive, and so it was on display there for a while. Eventually, they ended up giving it to the Henry Ford Museum, but it never actually went there. It went to a gentleman that tried to do some work to it, and did some work, that's not fair, did quite a bit of work to it in Navarre, Ohio, by the name of Tom Deal. And then eventually, the Henry Ford Museum deaccessioned the locomotive to the Port Huron Museum my junior year of high school. So starting at about the age of 16, 17, I was part of a group of people that brought it here. And then...
It's been sitting in storage for what? 20 years?
Yeah, a long time. So...
So where are we at with that? I've seen some pictures. You were doing some restoration of both the steel and also of the woodwork involved in the cab as well. And where are we at on that project? And will we be seeing it on display somewhere soon?
Well, obviously, as we all know, COVID has hit and taking its toll on multiple layers of society. And one of those layers is the museums and nonprofits. As I think you're well aware, the Port Huron Museum had to make the very, very difficult decision to lay off its staff and shut its doors for a period of time. And in turn, one of the entity that's in essence controlling the funding of this has handled the grant that came from Canadian National to work on the Locomotive Community Foundation, also had to put priorities in order and basically put any major projects that they were funding that were not directly COVID related on hold. And so that included us. And we were, it's somewhat sad because we were, as they like to say, in the home stretch. We had had a wonderful donation from Campbell and Shaw Steel for the jacketing of the locomotive, which for those that don't know is the outer wrapper that goes around the boiler of the locomotive to both protect it and to kind of clean the lines mm-hmm. of it. And so we basically had to put all that on hold. And, of course, on top of it, we're doing this restoration at the St. Clair County Community College. So they have a series of protocols that you have to go through as well, including temperature checks and other things. And so we're just now getting to the point where we're looking at being able to work on it again. But, like as I say, we're coming down to the home stretch. The museum, I know, is still in various discussions on an ultimate location for it, but obviously they've had to deal with their own priorities because they've just come back to work as well.
Yeah.
So it's moving forward, but not nearly as fast as we would have hoped. And sadly, if COVID hadn't hit, we probably would have been nearing completion of the restoration now.
Well, it's a really cool piece of history, especially Port Huron history. We really hope to see that work wrap up. And I'm sure you'll keep us in tune on when that's complete and where it ultimately will end up and how we can all get a glance at that. But so far, just want to say, great job with that, TJ. And I'm happy to see that that unique, iconic piece of Port Huron history is being restored. I want to move on to, let's stay on railroads for a little bit. Obviously, that's a little bit, that's up your alley. You're working on some caboose restoration projects too?
Yes. I've been working the last year with the Plymouth Historical Society on a project that is restoring a chassis system caboose. Sort of the other end of the spectrum, if you will, from 1878 to a caboose that was built as new as 1980. Mm. That caboose was used all over the chassis system. Now chassis, of course, as you know, Caleb, was taken over by CSX in the mid-80s. And cabooses like this would have been seen in the Port Huron area, through the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. This particular caboose was given to Plymouth by CSX Transportation as a donation and was one of the last ones built. Was built in Alexandria, Virginia by Fruit Growers Express. And so we've been in process of restoring it. Very different set of things working
sure.
on it versus the locomotive, but we were somewhat fortunate in that it had never actually been repainted. And so and as far as cabooses go, which tend to have fairly hard lives, it was fairly unmolested. But the thing that I've enjoyed about the project, and I know you've been following it, Caleb, is the director there, Liz Kersens, has kind of gave us an idea that we wanted to have sort of a twofold approach. The exterior of the caboose, we restored that to literally as it walked out of the factory, rolled out of the factory. The interior, however, we've taken a more sort of systematic approach in that we want to respect the history that has lived, the folks that worked in that caboose and what have you. And so, yes, we've replaced some things that were missing, thankfully a very few things, and did some general cleaning, did some repair here and there where there was some rotted wood and things like that. But when you walk in, it's very much a caboose that any railroader would feel at home in, and it's very lived in. And so, yes, not everything is spick and span inside of there. There's some wear and tear. And it's been kind of fun to play that dual role in that restoration. So
we're speaking to TJ Gaffney. TJ is a local historian, restorer, property owner, railroad employee, and jack of all trades, more or less. TJ, another project you're working on is something that we've checked in with you from time to time on, and it's the what we call the Dino or the Dino Project, which is that former Sinclair gas station at 14th and Lapeer. You own that. You've been transforming that back to its glory days, if you will, when it was a gas station. How's that project coming along?
Slower than we would like. We were starting to work on the interior restoration work, or just beginning to look at doing that. Caleb, as you know, I know you've been by. I plan on using the building as an office and meeting area for clients, like the museum and some individual clients that I work with. And then the garage area is sort of a both a work area and also sort of a storage area. I do a lot of work with architectural salvage and things of that nature. We shifted back out to doing some work on the exterior. As I think you're aware, we did a lot of detail work on the exterior stucco, which was in varying condition, and repainting it back into the classic green and white, which I know pleases all Spartan fans greatly.
It's a beautiful color. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. For those that don't know, I have a heritage of the University of Michigan and Caleb, is a Spartan. So that's kind of a running joke between a lot of the folks that I know that are Spartans, but, it's been a great project. To be honest, and you've heard me say this a number of times, I think people want to move it faster even than I do, because I routinely get people stopping by who either have memories of it or memories of what most people remember that building as, which was Van Kieran Cleaners, their water dry cleaners for a number of years. And so it's always a fun thing. We had a couple stop by yesterday that I knew back from my museum days, Fred and Kay Mitchell. And Fred was a longtime member of the Port Huron Police Department, but he actually worked there in the 40s, early 50s, I believe, changing truck tires, as he told me. And so, you know, he literally could walk in and say, hey, the Coke cooler was over here, and this was here. And you know,
well, that's so cool.
Yeah, and again, for those that don't know, that hadn't been a station since really the mid-1960s. And so, there's not, unfortunately, I've yet to find a photograph of it, particularly as a Sinclair station. And a lot of people in this area don't even remember Sinclair as a brand, because it more or less was supplanted by Mobile in the early 70s. Sinclair still is a brand, but it's primarily west of the Mississippi these days. So,
well, it's amazing to see that transformation there. And we're talking to TJ Gaffney, talking about your gas station that you purchased, former gas station that you purchased, that you're turning back into a homage, if you will, to the days of gas stations past at the 14th and Lapeer. It is kind of amazing. Once you peeled off the facade there, you took down that wood and you exposed what was underneath it, and it very much is still intact. You've got a little more work to do, but it was just amazing what you can find behind some of these facades around town, even in the downtown area when they started ripping off the old the Emery's furniture building as well.
Yes. And again, you know, that's a process that, you know, in my high school days began with, you know, the Main Street program. That was one of the first ones that truly started doing those type of things downtown. And of course, that's kind of evolved as a process over the last 25 to 30 years. But it clearly has affected others, including me, quite frankly, who have looked at doing similar type of things throughout the community. So, I truly would hope that it inspires some other folks to do similar things throughout the community. It doesn't have to be just in the downtown area, although obviously that has, a great impact. But, as I say, I'm on the old, M21, in Lapeer area.
Yeah.
So, kind of going west, if you will. So,
No, that's a great addition to the neighborhood, TJ. You're really helping to fix things up, improve Port Huron. We certainly appreciate it. We'll be checking in with you again too, later on, keep us informed of the progress of both the DB Harrington and the Dino project.
Yep.
TJ Gaffney is a local historian. He's working on some restoration projects, and he's a good friend of mine. Thanks for joining us this morning, TJ.
Thanks for having me, Caleb.
Thanks for the update on the progress. This is Caleb in for Paul. You're on 1380 WPHM.